Our scripture reading this morning is taken in the Gospel according to Mark at chapter 5, verse 21. The text this morning will be the verses 25 through 34. In the first part of Mark 5, Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee to the land of the Gadarenes, where he has healed the man who was possessed of a legion of demons. Who had kept him in a tomb where he howled and he cut himself with stones. And the Lord has healed him, the demons going into a herd of swine, and the people saying to Jesus, verse 17, depart out of our coasts. Jesus now has passed back to the land of Galilee. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now our text. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touch me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. May God bless his word to our hearts. Please go away. This is what the people of the land of the Gadarenes said to Jesus after he had cast out the demons from a man who lived in the cemetery, and the demons had entered the herd of swine, running off a cliff, were drowned in the sea. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Their heart was in their livelihood. They did not want the demons of their sins exposed and cast out of their lives. Jesus, go away. Please come, is what two say when Jesus has taken the ship to the other side of the land of Galilee. Verse 22 and 23, when Jairus saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, I pray thee, come. And this woman in our text thought within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his clothes, I will be healed. What accounts for the difference? Go away. Come. You say to me, grace, yes. But what about here, right now, too? The difference is the grace of God working within our hearts this morning to know our desperate need for Jesus and to give you to know that your need is great and that only a great Savior can save you and supply exactly the need of your heart this morning. The grace of God to give us to know, of course, the shame of our sin and our impotence with respect to sin, and that all other physicians cannot help us with our sin. Our need to know in this day, not only because of the shame of our sin, but also because of the trial God places in our way, our need to know the great Jesus and faith, whereby we say, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. Which one are you this morning? Does your or my life say, Jesus, go away? Or does it say, please, come? The miracle of the healing of this woman with the issue of blood is sandwiched right in between the healing of the daughter of Jairus. That's the striking thing about it. This woman appears to be an interruption. Certainly an interruption to Jairus, but also an interruption to Jesus, who is on an emergency call, a 911 call. This daughter of Jairus is dying. What a first responder this morning. On the way to someone who has a heart attack. Would this first responder going through the narthex stop to talk to someone who's had a medical issue for 12 years? On the way to the heart attack, would they stop for that? We certainly empathize with Jairus. He was in an agony of desperation. He is pushing the Lord's elbow along. We have to proceed. You ask, who touched you? You're going to stop and call attention to her now? Now? Why does Jesus do this? Jesus does this because he's our precious Savior. Is there somebody in the church that you see this morning, your brother, your sister, in a great, great, crushing need? Their life is falling down all around them. They need the Lord now. Your need is more secret and more silent. Will he neglect you with your silent need? No. He is aware of all of his sheep. The Lord loves and knows each one. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, a mighty man, and this woman. Oh, he will help Jairus. He will not forget him and his daughter. But now this woman who is unnoticed, in fact, we're going to see that this woman had learned to be very good at slipping in and slipping out unnoticed. The eye of the Lord is steady upon each one of his own, on you. The heart of the passage is verse 30. Jesus immediately knew that virtue had gone from him. The virtue or the blessings of Jesus Christ of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and his Holy Spirit within our hearts. This virtue is imparted unto needy sinners who know that no one can help them, who confess before him this morning, I'm unclean. I cannot escape. I am unworthy. I am even ashamed to tell him. I don't even want to really stand in front of him. But I believe that he, through faith, can make me whole. Is that you? At this table, all that is in Christ is imparted through faith. to unworthy sinners who by grace say, "Please come. No one can help me but you." Touching the hem of his garment, as Jesus was moving in a throng of people, people of every description, pushing and shoving, and Jairus, no doubt, urging him forward. And as there is in this crowd a surge of excitement, Jesus is going to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. He's going to heal his daughter who is at the verge of death, a little girl. We all want to see this. During this, an unnamed woman approaches Jesus as Zacchaeus will want to approach Jesus, unnoticed. And she positions herself strategically along the way as the throng passes and joins the throng, we read verse 27, joins behind Jesus that she might touch his garment. Her plight was great. It was a plight that she would not naturally talk about. It was something that she wanted kept secret, at least from others. We read that she had an issue of blood 12 years. The word issue is hemorrhage. She suffered from uncontrolled menstrual bleeding. We can translate it a hemorrhage, not heavy bleeding, but a hemorrhage of menstrual bleeding all the time. And it left her anemic and tired. She felt she had no energy. Every day she asked, "How can I get through this?" For 12 years. And we are told three things in verse 26. She had suffered many things of the physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. It was incurable. The physicians not only could not solve her medical problem, but all of their imaginative cures were making her suffer more. It was, number two, depleting. Depleting not only of her energy, but of all of her money and resources. She had drained all of her savings. All of her resources were gone. Her daily life was gone. And number three, it was progressing worse. It did not stabilize after a period of months or years. If anything, it was worse than ever. Now the Holy Spirit wants to direct our attention to ourselves this morning. And so God in the Old Testament, as a sign of a spiritual reality that we are unclean before God and can find nothing to clean ourselves, God also made this in the Old Testament a sign of being unclean. The Old Testament law treated it the same as leprosy. Leviticus 15, verse 19 and 25, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue be the issue of blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until even. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days, out of the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean." She was to be treated as unclean, as a leper who had to cry, "Unclean, unclean." She could not be with family. She could not be with friends. She could not be in the crowd. She had to be off by herself. She could not go to the temple of God. No one could touch her. If she would be found out mingling in this crowd, she would be expelled. The law said that they could have nothing to do with her in her uncleanness. And so God chose this also as a picture of you and me, of a sign that sin has made us unclean in the sight of God. This is true. a sign of the corruption of our sin, different from leprosy. Leprosy could be seen by other eyes. The corruption that she had, the bleeding she had, could not be seen, but she knew it within. It refers to the sins of which we know we are guilty within and cause us guilt and shame. We would not want others to know about these things in our lives. These are sins that we have struggled against, but they come back into our hearts and they're there right now. These are the sins that are depleting and draining our lives, our money, our strength, our marriage, our power. These are the sins of our own pride. And now for this woman by grace. She has to have deliverance. She cannot live with this anymore. Is this what has brought you and I to this house of God this morning? By faith she reasoned, if I may but touch his clothes, I will be whole. No, she's not going to try to stop him. She's not going to cry out to him as blind Bartimaeus. But she wants to remain unnoticed, and she's good at it. She's very good at it. And she will position herself behind him. And as the crowd is moving along and many people are scuffing and bumping and jostling and pushing in the crowd that day, a hand reached out to touch Jesus that no one saw, even the disciples who were always protective of the Master, that only two knew about. And this hand reached out and touched him. Jesus was wearing traditional garb, which would be a robe over his inner garments, and on that garment, near the shoulders in the back, would be four tassels. Numbers 15, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes on the borders of their garments throughout all their generations, and that they put on the fringe of the border a ribbon of blue. And it shall be for you that when you look upon it, the tassel, thou shalt remember all the commandments of the Lord thy God to do them. Here is the Son of God under the law, obeying the law, with that upon him, those tassels. Here is the one whose eye is upon the law of God and the will of God, walking for us. And consciously and deliberately, she reaches out to touch him in that tassel. It was a picture of faith. It was a picture of a remarkable faith. She knew that Jesus was the Messiah. She had no doubt heard him preach, and we know from Scripture that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. His voice, the voice of Jesus in the preaching, had seized her, had drawn her. His words had entered into her heart. She believed that he was her salvation. The cleansing power of sin was to be found in him. She believed the hem of his garment, the smallest part of him, the smallest part of Jesus would be sufficient for her. This is not superstition. She is not coming as to one who would rub some spiritual beads. This is faith union to Jesus Christ. This is faith saying, if I am joined to him, but in the smallest way, my faith is weak this morning, and I am unworthy, and I'm even ashamed to stand right in front of the Lord. I would blush. But the smallest part of him will be my salvation. Her faith was persistent. She was weak. There was a crowd that was around him. There was danger if she is found. But this woman believed that Jesus' mercy was greater than her sin. I will say that again. She believed that Jesus' mercy was greater than her sin. She believed his forgiveness to be greater than her uncleanness. What is greater, children? What's greater? The shame of our sins? The trials of our life? Or the power of Jesus to forgive and to cleanse? So at this table today, when by faith we touch him, we take the symbols of bread and wine. His mercy is greater than our sins. His forgiveness is greater than our uncleanness. And it was a modest faith. She does not come and say, Lord. She does not stand in front of him trying to block his way and say, Lord, I deserve better than this. That I would have to go through this for a year or two. Why must I suffer? Why must I be snubbed? She is humble. She is unassuming. She does not even want to take his time. She does not even need his direct attention. She does not even need him to speak to her. I don't deserve that. All I need is to touch him, to be united to him. If I can but partake of him, I will be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately, through faith, through the gift of faith, the power of his grace was experienced in her heart. This is not mechanical. This is not superstitious. But the word of the gospel this morning is that through faith, God's gift, faith in Christ crucified for sinners, for me, faith in his name, by faith in his name, we are made whole. It was that day a tassel of wool. That tassel of wool that Jesus wore is long gone, and it is faded away. And if we had it, and I thought about that, I don't know for sure, but I would almost think for sure that throughout the history of the foolish superstitions of the Church of Jesus Christ at times and the foolishness of the heart of man, probably someone in the Middle Ages showed up saying, I got it. And boy, if you can touch this. Well, beloved, if we had it, let's pretend we have that tassel and the elders have it in a glass case with a key. And on Communion Sundays, they unlock the glass case, and we were able to touch it. I will tell you right now, I can assure you from God, there would be no spiritual magic, there would be no virtue of salvation from Jesus Christ being imparted into you by touching a piece of wool. There would be something that would happen. If we were to do that, we would feel something. The wrath of God against idolatry is what we would feel. It is not that somehow you get your hand on that bread and you sip the wine and you look for something magical to envelop you. God forbid. It is a picture of a true and living faith in Jesus Christ, crucified for my sins. And Jesus Christ implanted into me through regeneration in my heart, so that I say, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And it is something we know. She knew it. She felt it. She was assured. She said, though my sins testify me that I have broken all God's commandments and I am unworthy, He has saved me. For God of grace has given me to Him the gift of faith. Here's the explanation. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue was gone out of Him, turned and said, Who touched me? He knew her. He knew she was there. He knew what she was doing. She was one of the sheep. Grace had drawn her to Jesus. It would be absurd for us to think that Jesus would pour out His grace, His healing grace, upon someone of whom He was totally unaware. Of course not. He is our Savior. It is the picture of Jesus knowing His sheep. Even when they don't think He knows them or sees them, He sees them. And it's a picture of Jesus imparting His benefits to us through a living faith. To those who have been united to Him by the power of His Father through that gift of faith. And so it will be at the Lord's table this morning. It will not be the physical eating of that bread or the drinking of that wine that will profit you. That will not profit you in itself. But they are a sign and an emblem of the pledges of God and of the promises of God to you this morning, which we partake of in the soul through faith, so that Jesus is present in this supper and His virtues through faith are communicated to us, His righteousness and holiness, His peace and His strength. And He will make you whole. I will work in you, says Jesus. My virtues will be imparted to you through faith. Even the cleansing of our sins and the renewing of our lives in strength and faith, trust, humility, and obedience. Her modesty would not be allowed by Jesus to prevent God's grace from being confessed. She would have slipped away, praising God in her heart. But Jesus said, Who touched me? The question was exasperating to the disciples. Who touched you? Don't you see the multitude all around you and you're asking us, who touched you? All kinds of people bump into you, Lord. And the Lord knows that. He knows that today too. All kinds of people bump into Him. And they're all around Him. And at times they're very enthused about Him. But He knows His children. And He knows the difference between someone bumping into Him. Oh yes, Jesus, Savior. And someone reaching by faith to Him, God's gift, out of need. He knows the difference. But He did not want this woman to be anonymous. He wanted to teach her. He wanted to tell her that no matter how reticent and shy she might be, she had to say what the Lord had done. She had to make confession of her faith. It must not be done anymore in secret. He would draw her out. He would bring her out so that she would tell. She must tell. She must not hide. She must tell the faith that the Lord had given to her. And He looked around, we read, about to see her that had done this thing. He didn't need to look long. He knew her. He had been looking upon her from eternity. He knew. He was able to identify her. And she looked back and she knew that the Lord knew her. And she came fearing and trembling, knowing what the Lord had done in her. And she came and fell down before him and told him all of the truth. Has the Lord today shown mercy to you? Do you trust today, be it weekly, in his amazing and tender pity as the only thing that can wash away the uncleanness and the filth of your sin? Then you must confess. You must join his people today. As a young person, you must join in confession of faith in the bread and wine, and you must confess at the table of the Lord, and you must testify what he has done for your soul, and you must be identified in the church of Jesus Christ. God, the Lord wants God's grace confessed. And he wants to talk to her. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. Listen. Jesus speaks to you, to me, child of God. Daughter, adopted in my own blood and an heir of life eternal, I have made you whole, forgiven, and cleansed you. Go in peace. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be stricken with fear. Go in peace. Is your shame great? Is your faith little? Do you know something secret about yourself? Do you know that no one can help you? No physician. And is it getting worse? He draws you to himself. He is more than enough for you. By faith, God's gift, touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Grant us now through faith, believing in him, to receive all the virtues of the living Savior, forgiveness of sins, and strength for this day, and sweet assurance and peace in the midst of the storm. Work it through faith at the table. Amen.